So camps are over, and just like Mindy was talking about, like it's not the end. Like we still have a lot of stuff going on, lots of busyness. And one of the things that I've noticed at camps this year, in the student ministry anyway, has been whether we were at camp or whether we were at mission trip and everywhere in between, there's one subject that kept on coming up, and it was chicken. And it was the amount of chicken that we consume, but also like what's the best chicken place in Owosso? So we talked about Slim Chickens and Zaxby's and Cane's, and the fight was on of like who has the best sauce, the consistency of the chicken, all that kind of stuff. Does it get stuck inside of your teeth? All of that stuff. And then there was this boneless, bone-in talk. And let me just tell you, that got super intense. That actually was if Gabe is in here, you guys can thank Gabe for that. So Gabe was talking about either Wing Stop or Wings to Go. What is the superior chicken? Which he believes is Wings to Go. I'm just kidding. he was about to rage out on all of us. But we were talking about chicken, what was the best and all that kind of stuff. And whether we were like talking like deep theological conversations, it would like easily turn back into like, well, Wings to Go has better sauce. And I was like, okay, I guess we're done talking about Jesus. But nothing was ever mentioned about the best chicken in Owosso. You all know what it is, Charlie's Chicken. And in 2011, that beautiful, wonderful establishment was created. God decided to bless Central with being in closer proximity to it, so we can go after service today, if anybody wants to pay for me and my family. Because it is expensive, but we talked about chicken, and chicken just kind of like lived at camp and lived at the mission trip. And there's nothing wrong with Cane's. There's nothing wrong with Wings to Go. You know, they're just not as good as Charlie's Chicken, because I've got a preference and you've got a preference. And through this series, we've been looking at the Bible, and this is a hilariously large Bible, by the way. But we've been talking about the Bible and the aspects of the Bible that make up the Bible. And some of you have been like, you know what? I love this portion of the Bible, whichever one we're talking about that day. So maybe it was the first books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. And you're like, oh, I love the law. And I love it because it teaches us so much about the character of God, how he wants a relationship with us, but we've done something wrong. And he doesn't want us to break the law, so he gives us these laws. And then those laws have other laws. And then there's Levitical laws. And those Levitical laws drive the Levites. And there's a lot. You guys bore me sometimes. And then some of you are like history buffs. So you're like, okay, tell me about like, okay, so this king, and then after that king was this king, and then during that king, this happened, and then like there were some crazy things that happened with this, and that's really, really cool as well. So the history has been good. And some of you, like you have a preference towards that. And then last week, maybe you were like, yes, the poetry of the Bible is beautiful and wonderful, and it explains what on the outside, what we feel on the inside. And we see like things like in David, or not in David, there's no book called David, but with David, he's writing Psalms. And while he's writing Psalms, he is just letting his heart pour out towards God. He is saying, God, I am without you. Where are you at? And then in the very next verse, the couplet, which we talked about last week, it's like this resolution to it, that there's a problem, and God, where are you? And God, you never left me. God, why would you do this? No, you've always sustained me. God, you lead me to these places that, like, why would you ever lead me there? You lead me there for your glory. See, it's beautiful. It's this story that God is telling through his Bible. And then there are some of the weirdos like me that have been waiting for this day, because the preference of which you are is wrapped around this conspiracy-y life that you live, where you don't trust people, and also with not trusting people all the time, you get like in like the weeds of like, oh, look at how all of this has fallen apart. That's me. I'm like looking at all the things. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Prophecy. Inside of the Bible, it talks about these, there's these books. This one right here, this big one, is prophecy. And the books of prophecy inside of the Bible are, they're pretty crazy. But they're in the Bible for a reason. We're going to explore that. But when we read the books of prophecy, they may not seem like that they have anything to do with us. But there is, like I said, there's this huge book of all of the prophets. So instead of going through every single one of these books, instead of that, we're going to do something different. We're going to see if it actually, what makes up a prophet, why they were able to talk about it, and what that has to do with us. Like, why even talk about it in 2024? Why even read about it now? This has already happened. Why is this important? Well, first, we got to answer this question. What is true biblical prophecy? And you may already know the answer to this, but when we hear the word prophecy, myself included, the red flags go up. And there's this elephant in the room, and it's this, that there are people who have said prophetic things inside of our lifetime that have been 100% wrong, just completely wrong. And when we think of people who are prophets or people or prophecy happening, we think of these weirdos with tinfoil hats on. It's true. But this is the deal. That's not the people of the Bible. We think of people like, I don't even know who put all this together, I guess the Mayans, but in 2012, the Mayan calendar was supposed to be done. So if the Mayan calendar runs out, so does the world? So some of us believe that, me included. Okay, we were thinking that something bad was going to happen, or Y2K. As soon as the ball dropped on January 1st, 2000, we thought that the world was going to end, that computers were going to crash. And you know what? I bet just to be funny, some of you dads turned off the lights in the house. I bet you did. Just to be like, the world ended. But it didn't. Or in 2002, 2004, 2007, 2012, 2013, yesterday, every single year, probably every single month, someone says that Jesus is coming back. And these are the ones that, because it's about our stuff, the Mayan calendar, we're like, that doesn't really have to do with us. The world ending at the turn of the century, we're like, maybe, but that doesn't really have to do with us. But when people start talking about Jesus coming back, we start getting a little bit defensive, and we either get swooped in with like, yes, it's going to happen September 6th, 2024, which it's not, because I just said it, it's definitely not. That's what the Bible says. That nobody is going to know, but we get so wrapped up inside of this that this prophecy becomes something that we hitch our wagon to, and that's all that we can think about sometimes. But maybe not us. We've got to know, because whenever we hear prophecy, we turn off our minds. The majority of us. Some of us, we're like, we're going to go out on a limb because this prophecy might be right. But the majority of us don't do that. The majority of us say, okay, We instead are going to say all prophecy bad. That's a bad word for us. And the Bible talks about prophecy, so it can't be a bad word. So what is it? Well, Deuteronomy 18, it clears all up. If someone's going to be a prophet, this is what it means. If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not come true or happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared. So the biblical prophets, they aced the test. That is the test. It's testing two things. One, is a prophecy from God? And two, does it come true? Because what it's saying is out of Deuteronomy is that if someone speaks in the Lord's name, they say that something came from God, but then it does not happen, they're not a prophet. And then God doesn't say, now cast them out of the town and burn them alive. No. God is very good to say, they were wrong. They don't need to be feared. That you don't have to listen to those people. Why? Because they were wrong about something. They're not God. They don't have the authority or the power to do what they've said that they were going to do or that God was going to do. That's like if we got my kids inside of here and I was like, hey, kids, no candy. And I turned around and then you guys all started being like, Miles, Ella, get this candy quick. And I turned around seeing all of the candy in front of my kids. Do I stop them from eating the candy or do I let them eat the candy? Well, I stopped them from eating the candy. Why? Because I said that they couldn't have candy. I have the authority and the power to say what my kids can have and what they can't have because they're 6 and 4. If a parent can't choose if their kids can have candy or not, then like, okay, they're probably not their parents. But that's what God does with us. He says, I have the authority and I have the power that if I say something, it's going to come true. And the same way that we have the power and authority over our kids to be like, hey, you're not going to drink pop before bed. Like, don't do that. But if somebody else comes along and they say that they can do it, no, they're not their parent. They don't have that authority. So God, he speaks through his people, these prophets that are compiled inside of this book. That he puts all of these prophets in a place where they can hear from God and they can say what God wants them to say. And this is how he did it. 90% of the time is out of the Bible. 90% is most of the time. This is how God does it. He says, the word of the Lord came to, and then says their name. That's what God's word says. The word of the Lord came to, fill in the blank. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hezekiah, whoever. And the next things out of God's mouth, then those prophets would then take those words and bring them to the people of Israel. And in the Old Testament, that's how they got the insight of God. That's how they got the skinny or the 411 or 401, 411. Anyway, that's how they got their information on what God wanted them to do, was through prophets. And these prophets, they would get a word from the Lord, they would say it, and wow, it would happen. There are all these stories inside of the Bible where he talked to a prophet. The prophet didn't want to do what he wanted to, what God wanted him to do, and then he did it anyway because he's like, I guess I have no other choice, and that the people got to see that God actually came through with what he said. So who were the prophets exactly? So they're the books of the prophets right here we have split them into two sections. One, the major prophets, and then the minor prophets. The major prophets are the major prophets because, you know why? Because they're longer. Because they talk more and so they're longer. The book takes longer to read. And so we say that these four prophets are actually the major prophets. They weren't like given some pedestal or something. No, they were just prophets that we have a lot of documentation of what they did and how they did it. And those four prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And these four guys right there, the word of the Lord came to them, and then they spoke. And this is kind of what their book. So in Isaiah is about how God sends Isaiah to warn Israel about a lot of judgment that's happening and tell them of a coming king and servant, which would have sounded crazy to the Israelites, that a coming king and a servant is coming, and that is the same person, and that he will, quote, bear the sins of many. That is Jesus. So Isaiah gets this prophetic word from God. He writes down all this stuff, or someone writes it down for him. And we have the story of Isaiah and all of his prophecies, which are crazy and mostly about Jesus and the next about like 20, 40 years of Israel's life. Then you've got Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is sent by God to warn Israel about the being held captive by the Babylonians, and they don't take the news very well. They turn against Jeremiah. the Babylonians invade Israel anyway, and they take people, and they just, like, it's just not a good deal. And Jeremiah is where we get the, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You know, that is a prophecy right there. It is Jeremiah saying that God knows the plans he has for you. But if the plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. But Jeremiah is saying this in the same breath where he just now, and he's about to start saying again, but you're going to be taken captive. That doesn't seem very prosperous, right? That seems pretty harmful. But what Jeremiah is saying is, I know this bad thing's about to happen. God has plans for you. They are to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Your hope in your future is not in the next 20, 30 years, says Jeremiah. It is in the next 100 years. But the people of Israel, they don't see that. They don't like that anyway. Then Ezekiel is super crazy, a fever dream of a book. And he talks about how the Israelites, they've messed up. And God tells Israel to tell them, you've messed up. So he tells them, you've messed up. And now the really wild parts is that through the prophecies, it's this like crazy kind of scary imagery, like dry bones inside of a valley coming to life and then fighting. That's super weird, super crazy. But Ezekiel is a book of prophecy where it tells of what is currently going on and what is about to happen. And it shows it through these crazy, crazy visions that Ezekiel then tells to the Israelites. Then there's Daniel. And most of us know Daniel as the one part of Daniel where it reads like a good storybook or like a good like drama novel where they're the Israelites, they're taken captive. Daniel and his friends are part of that. They're big and strong. And it just like this story of their life is really cool. But Daniel includes a bunch of visions from the Lord where God says, Daniel, I need you to tell the people this is how it's going to be like in your near future. So Daniel, he tells the people, they don't like it because the people he's around are not Israelites. They are Babylonians and they are Persians. So he's like, hey, yeah, God's gonna you know, come forth and there's going to be this big statue, but like that statue is going to be nothing compared to God, which would really, thank you, God. But it would really scare people. And then you've got these awesome stories inside of it, like him being thrown in a lion's den, survives, glory to God, and his friends being thrown inside of a forest, a furnace, and they survive, glory to God. Crazy stuff. But then there are these minor prophets, and the minor prophets include Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all of you pregnant looking for a boy name, right there. Obadiah, Haggai, Habakkuk, extra phlegm. These minor prophets, they were not lesser than the other prophets, like I said. They were just stories, shorter stories about God's prophets. The people that God said, hey, I'm going to say something through you. You're going to be my mouthpiece. You're going to be an ambassador for me to the nation of Israel. And just to summarize all of those books, the minor prophets tell stories of God speaking through all of these guys. And God warns of bad times and wars that are going to happen and judgment on Israel. And most of the time, the people of Israel don't listen. And it turns out really, 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 really badly for them because what we've talked about inside of the Bible in the past, and the student ministry probably gets tired of me talking about this stuff, but it doesn't matter. I'm paid to do it. So God, he creates the world. He intends us to be good. We turn from God. That separates us from God. So can an imperfect thing ever be with a perfect thing? Absolutely not. Perfection cannot touch imperfection, or the imperfection will be or the perfection will be imperfect. Yeah, that's a lot. So God, he can't be with us. He has to remove himself because we are destined to do wrong things. But he makes a way. And the way that he's like, you know what? I'm going to make a way. I'm going to have my nation, a people that when people look at them, God's chosen people, that they will say that they are set apart or they are holy, which means that they are just set apart, that they are different from everyone else, that they are going to follow these laws in the history that we were talking about. That they're going to follow these laws, and because they follow these laws, it is going to bring glory to God. And when they bring glory to God, it is going to be a picture of God looking at them and saving them. But the problem is the people of Israel, God's chosen people, they turn away from God and they lose God's favor over and over and over and over again inside of the Bible. And the Old Testament, it chronicles this like a lot. It talks about how God gave his provision. God did not have to save the people of Israel, but in a miraculous way, they are saved, they are out of captivity, and then they turn away from God. God takes his favor away, saying, without my favor on your life, you are going to fail, you are going to fall, but there's going to be one that comes after all of this that's going to change the world, and that's Jesus. But it doesn't say it as clearly as that. It just says, hey, there's one that's going to come that's going to change this thing, and then moves on. And sprinkled within the prophets, we get all of these stories, little tiny nuggets of Jesus leading up to the cross. So I almost forgot. There's not just 16 books inside of the Bible that talk about prophecies. We can look throughout the Bible and we can find 88 prophets inside of the Bible, both men and women, 25 inside of the New Testament, and there's 63 inside of the Old Testament, and they all had this experience with God, and they became God's mouthpiece for that generation. So we've got times where people inside of the Bible, maybe just one instance, we learn about them, that the word of the Lord came to that person, and then they tell that to Israel. They either listen or they don't listen. Usually they don't listen, and then they move on. And that's kind of the story of the Bible, is through prophets, God spoke to them. They spoke to Israel. They didn't listen. So just to recap, God chose people to be his mouthpiece, and these people were called prophets. And those people weren't very popular. And people, even though they didn't believe him all the time, God's word never failed. And 100% of the time, the things that they said came true. So that is the base. And here is the substance to what we're talking about today. We've got the prophets. We know that they were 100% correct. That's what made them prophets. But they were not prophets for just no reason at all. It was to paint a picture, the full picture of what God wanted. Where, like I was saying, the breadcrumbs of what God was weaving through, it was prophecy about what was about to happen, like the Babylonians are going to take you over, but it was also about Jesus, who was going to be a sacrifice. This is kind of what it looked like. So you have all of these prophecies inside of the Bible, and there's a bunch of them, but they're all kind of interwoven together. The prophecies inside of Isaiah, they are still good in Jeremiah, or Jeremiah to Isaiah, rather. You've got all of these books that kind of mix and weave and all that kind of stuff. All these prophets inside of the Bible, that their stories and they say something right here, and maybe 50, 70, 100 years later, something comes true, and it's all weaved together. And it's all weaved together to eventually point to Jesus, where Jesus comes and he makes everything just like stick together. Like all of the prophecies that were about Jesus, like they are weaved through this. And you can't really tell by just looking at it where the prophecies of Jesus start and where they end. It's like this. There's this prophecy in Genesis 3 where God is talking to Eve, and he says, your child is going to be the Son of Man. And that Son of Man is going to be bruised on his heel by a serpent. And he will bruise his heel, and he, the Son of Man, will crush the head of that serpent. Okay, that is directly Jesus. But we don't see that until Jesus fulfills that. So all the way in Genesis 3, over here, we see this crazy mention of the Son of Man or a Savior or Eve's son. It is not Eve's actual son. It is who is going to come next. Someone, a better Adam, is what a lot of people call it. Where he will fulfill what was broken. He will fix what was broken. He will fulfill the prophecy about him. So, this is just a quick illustration. One out of many, 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 many. Isaiah 53:2-6 says this. My servant grew up in the presence, in the Lord's presence, like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Okay, that is talking about Jesus. And it's not surprising to us, because we're talking about the Bible, that something about Jesus would be talked about, and then we would have Jesus, right? But it's way cooler than that. It would be like someone in the 1300s talking about Central Baptist Church in Oklahoma, or Wausau, Oklahoma, and some dude is going to baptize somebody, he's going to do the Lord's Supper, he's going to quick change, and he's going to preach. That would be a weird, weird thing to predict, right? 700 years before it happens. When Oklahoma wasn't even a thing. When America wasn't even America, right? But that is what it's like. Because Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, he writes these words. He says that there's a man will die for sins that he did not commit. Exactly what Jesus did. And we see that, and we're numb to it, because we're like, that's just what's inside of the Bible. That is an amazing prophetic word that came true. That it's come true to give validity to Jesus. But it's not just Isaiah 53. It's actually, look at all of these prophecies. That is the beginning of the Bible, all the way until when Jesus did what he said he was going to do. That's all of them. And the cool thing is that inside of the Old Testament, there are 1,237 prophecies. And 917 of them are fulfilled in the Old Testament. So the people of the Old Testament both got to hear what God was going to do and see later on inside of the Old Testament. The Old Testament spans a lot of years though. See God work. But then inside of the Old Testament, it talks 322 times about Jesus, about a Savior, foretelling the Messiah coming to change our lives, to save the world, to die for our sins, all setting up Jesus and then 700 years or 500 years after the last Old Testament book was written, we get Jesus. And 322 prophecies are fulfilled through Jesus' lifetime. And then you've got that last little bit at the very end. It's kind of blue. You probably can't see it all that well. But those are prophecies that are yet to come. Those are prophecies that Revelation talks about, or books inside of the Old Testament or the New Testament, end of the New Testament, talk about of Jesus coming and fulfilling a promise. And there are some things that Jesus and the Bible has been right about, and we can see in modern times. The Bible is not mystical. Just stopping right here to say, the Bible is not mystical with prophecies. We think it is, but it's not. It says things in a way that may have confused the original reader, but looking at it from the fulfillment of them, it's not weird at all. So in the Bible, it talks about the Euphrates drying up, and that's actually happening. It talks about the Red Sea drying up, and every year, 3 feet, it recedes every single year and never returns back to it. And we can see that inside of modern times. And I think the coolest thing is that it talks about in the Bible that Israel will actually fall, like it will fall dead completely, and out of the ashes, that it will rise again. Well, in the 1900s, what became a nation again? Israel. It came back. Why? The world may not know why the Euphrates is drying up, or the Red Sea, or even they may not have a good explanation of why Israel became a nation again, but the Bible told us that was going to happen. We can see that today, that God is still working to accomplish his will. God is still moving in not only our lives, but like through his word and through like what our kids are going to see, maybe, possibly. He is still working. He is still fulfilling things. And the biggest thing that he is yet to fulfill, that Jesus said that he was going to, and we talked about it with the Lord's Supper, that he will come back again and we will be with him. So the Bible being broken up inside of this way, talking about Jesus, seeing Jesus, and then awaiting Jesus again. And that's what we have. And that's where we are right now. That each and every one of us have heard the gospel. Today you've heard the gospel. That Jesus died, and that death was not for nothing. You know, that death was to be a covering for the wrong things that you've done, because you're separated from God. And it's only through Jesus and believing in him that you can have a way to life. That after this life, you will not die, but you will live eternally in heaven with God. And that's what Jesus was pointing us to. And that's what the prophecies were pointing us to. And that's why the books of prophecy, the prophets, that's why it's so important for us to read. Not so we can see this hokey stuff that is like up to like okay, I kind of understand that, or someone else might understand that. No, it's for us to see that things actually did come true, that the things that they said about Jesus came true, and we can bank on it. We can believe that when Jesus says that he is going to come back, that he's going to come back, and there is a time, a very specific time, that we don't know the timeline of, where Jesus dies for our sins. He comes back. And when he comes back, he tells us that he's going to come again. And when he comes again, he is going to come to save those, or take up those who are believers, and that those who reject him, that he will have nothing to do with, that he can't do anything with that. That if you don't turn towards Jesus, you've made the decision to turn away from Jesus. And all of that is set up just for us to have the decision. Are you going to follow Jesus? Are you going to give your life to him? Are you going to be like all of the people that you've seen in the last couple months that have decided to follow Jesus and then tell the world that they follow Jesus through baptism? Are you going to be like them? And some of you are already like them. So you're either, there's two camps. You are either seeking God, and I pray that you will seek Jesus today, that you seek God, and that you will give him your life. Or that with the life that you've been given, and with the thankfulness of the story of the Bible, that you will live a life that's changed. That you will be set apart from this world, just like God intended for the Israelites. You will be set apart, that when people look to you, that they don't see just normal you, but they will see Christ in you. Let's go out of this place, and let's not try to weigh down these chairs to weigh them down once a week, but instead go out to the people that need to hear this. That the word of God is alive and it moves inside of our life. That's why we're talking about bestseller, because it's the most powerful book of all time. It tells us about the most powerful thing that ever happened. All of creation, the story of Jesus, and the opportunity to be saved. So let's go and let's tell people about that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, you are so very good. And we thank you for this day. We thank you that you would give us the opportunity to hear your word. And I pray that if anybody needs to make a decision, they will do that. That they won't waste time, that they'll grab anybody that they know that loves Jesus, and they will tell them, like, or ask them, how do I do this? And those of us who have a relationship with you, I pray that you will continue to strengthen us, continue to convict us, and continue to encourage us, that we won't live a life of just satisfaction, of just being saved, but instead go to the lost and go to the people who need you and go to our own families that love you and live out the gospel. We always give you glory, we always give you praise, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, Central, we are so glad that you joined us for Central Online today. It's been a great time of worship with our Savior together as a Central family. Maybe today God's been speaking to you about trusting Him with your whole life and even taking that first step in following Him. We would love to connect with you about that. You can text the word forgiven to 94,000, and that will get you in touch with our ministry team. And if you just need prayer about something specific, we'd love to be able to come alongside you and pray with you. So send an email to prayer@cbcowasso.org. If this message spoke to you today, why not take a second and share it with a friend or a family member that maybe needs to hear it too? It's an exciting time to be a part of Central as we do our best to live for Christ, love people, and make disciples. We'll see you next week.